Okay, you ready? Is it good to go?
Yeah. Okay, Achad Ramayla Gidal Hamelcha Hashverosh as Haman ben Hamdasa Ha'agagi, the Agagite, meaning the Amaleki, the descendant of Agag, Vainas Eyu, and he raised them high. Vayosem es Kisoy me al Kalas Har Masher Itoy, and he placed his chair or his throne above all of the officers who were with him. First of all, some Farshim take note of the fact that it never introduces Haman. It just goes in Haman ben Hamdasa, as if we're supposed to be familiar with this person. So this may be what led Chazal to say that Memuchan, the counselor, the advisor who had given the advice to kill Vashti, Memuchan zeh Haman. Memuchan is Haman. Where did they get that from? So some Mefarshim say it's because they were bothered by this question. It says all, it just goes into the third paragraph, just saying Achashverosh promoted Haman. What happened? We never heard of Haman. No, it must be that we have heard of Haman. He's the previously mentioned Memuchan. And some go so far as to say that Memuchan was not really a name. Memuchan was a title. Muchan is that he was ready, which means he was ready always to advise for the sake of what best for the people. As what his advice, if you remember his advice in Parak Aleph, was Loy al Hamelch Levadai of Savashti. Vashti's crime is not only against the king himself, but it's also against the entire people. That was Memuchan's job, sort of. He was the advisor who would always
see the insight.
Or he would always be the one defending the people, or having the people's interest in mind, best interest in mind. So he was Memuchan to do that. He was always ready to do that, prepared to do that. So that's what we're saying. He was Haman. So what is... So there are a few questions in this pasuk. First of all, what's Achar Advarim Ha'ele after these things? What is the Hemshech? What's referring to? Which things? So the simple pshat would be after what was the last thing that happened? The Maisa, the event with the happening with Bigson and Seresh. That would be the previous thing. Then it's a little bit hard to understand what does this have to do with that? Some of us explain that it's going back on Esther, on the taking of Esther as a queen. The taking of Esther as a queen, that was due to Haman. That was because Haman is Memuchan. It was Haman's advice that led to Vashti being killed and subsequently to Esther being taken as a queen. It was really the Melech HaSing. This was a really great idea, and let me now... pay back, let me give some Hakar Satov, whatever, let me show my gratitude to Haman by promoting him. But if you remember, there was another thing, I don't know if you remember that some of the Mefarshim, the Gra included, explained that part of the council of Memuchan back at the party was not just, his council was A, to kill Vashti, but it was also something else. It was also that from now on, any matter that affects the king, which until then the law had been that the king is not allowed to judge. Anything that affects the king personally has to go before the high judges, the high court. And Memuchan had counseled the king that should be abolished. From now on, anything that affects the king personally, the king himself should be able to judge. And that for the purpose of solidifying the king or of the king's power and... Really, that was solidified, that was strengthened after the event with Bigson and Seresh. Because what happened? Bigson and Seresh were caught conspiring to kill the king, and the king had them killed. That worked to instill the fear of the king, the awe of the king, of the king's power in all the people. So that also was somewhat due to Haman's. Could be attributed to Haman to / Memuchan, his Memuchan's counsel. Chazal say Achar Advarim Ha'ele means Achar. The Gemara Megillah says Achar Shebara Refuah Lamaka. Now, as we know that Chazal tells that Hashem, whenever He brings a maka, a plague, or not just a plague, but any sort of bad thing on Klal Yisrael, He always creates the refuah first. He always creates the the remedy before that. So this is Achar Hadvar Ma'ila, after these things, after the Hashem created the refuah. What's the refuah? The refuah was A, Esther is the queen, B, Mordechai got into the Divrei Hayomim, Sefer Divrei Hayomim, for saving the king's life. And those things would be what facilitated the Yeshua later on. What is that about that Hashem creates the refuah before the makkah, refuah before the remedy, before the plague, before the strike? What is so important about that? What's the significance of that? And notice it says that that's only for Klal Yisrael, but by non-Jewish, by the Goyim, it's not true. Hashem creates the makkah and then the refuah. So simply, as this is what the Maharal says, is that what is the point of the makkah? Why does Hashem give a makkah to Klal Yisrael? Is it because he wants to hurt Klal Yisrael? Or is it because he wants them to do tshuva, wants what comes out? So the tachlis, the purpose of it, is the refuah. So that, and to show that, it creates the refuah first. If let's say a father disciplines his child, or a parent disciplines a child, and by taking something away from them, or forbidding them to do something, but if before that they make up a remedy, they prepare something that will help them in case the child, you know, starts becoming better, that will show that the purpose is that their intention is not to hurt the child, but only what's in his best interest. Okay. So what is Gidal HaMelech HaChashverosh Es Haman Ben Hamdasa? So what's the Gidal? He made him great. Vayinas Eyu, and he raised him up. So some of us say Gidal means in money, wealth. He made him great in wealth. As we see in Parshas Toldos, this week's Parsha, it says that Yitzchak became great. Vayigdal ha'ish ad haloich v'gadol. Until he became very great, and Rashi explains over there, because I'll explain it means in wealth. It's clear from the context. Vayinaseyu means in honor or prestige or in power. Vayosam es kisa mi'akol asar ma'asher ito. He raised up his throne above all the other thrones of the noblemen, of the officers. Apparently that was the custom that they had, their thrones, and the highest person on the highest level was above them. V'chol avdei ha'melech asher b'shar ha'melech. All the servants of the king who were in the gateway of the king, around the palace of the king, karimu mishtachvim l'haman, would bow and prostrate themselves in front of Haman, kichein tzivoloi hamelch, for that is what the king had commanded for him. Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachve. Mordechai would not bow, would not prostrate himself. So what's the significance of this bowing? Obviously, it was to accord him honor, to honor Haman. But notice that it says v'chol avdei hamelch asher b'shar hamelch. So it would appear from the pasuk that the decree that everybody has to bow down to Haman was not on everybody in the kingdom. It was only on the people in the Shar HaMelech, people around the palace. So when Haman was strutting around, right, he was around the palace. Everybody would have to bow. And some of Farshim take note of the fact it wasn't like an official decree that went out that we saw before, that he sent out letters, messengers to the whole realm. We don't see that he did that over here, that he sent out messengers to tell everybody to bow down to Haman. It was just kind of like an unofficial decree, or it was just a decree only for the people. While they're in the Bashar HaMelech, then you should also bow down. You should bow down to Haman. Mordechai lo yichav lo yishtachve. So first, we can focus on the fact that it says lo yichav lo yishtachve in lashon asid, a future tense. Before, just at the beginning of the pasuk, it says all the servants of the king are koru mishtachvim, are bowing down, and here it says Mordechai will not bow down. It changes from present tense to future tense. Some Farshim say that Mordechai was really doing this as what we would say lahachas. He was doing it to spite Haman. Even though he could really have avoided the whole situation, he didn't have to be in the Shar HaMelech when Haman was strutting by, and he could have sort of, you know, made himself inconspicuous, but no, he made a point of not moving whatsoever, and he would purposely go in front of Haman and be there when Haman was walking by and not bow down. And even more so, some of Farshim say that he would come at the point when everybody else was bowing down. That's when he would come. Mordechai would come, so it was clear to everybody that he would never bow down. That's the point over here. The point is not just that he was not bowing down. He made it evident that he will never bow down. You will never make me bow down, and that's why it's in future tense.
There's some Midrashim that Haman made himself into an Avodah Zarah, or war, an emblem of Avodah Zarah.
Exactly, right. So why is it that Mordechai didn't, why did he not bow down? So, yes, Chazal said that Haman either was wearing an Avodah Zarah, wearing a tzelem, or he made himself into Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, how do you know that, the Gemara brings the pasuk, Lo yishtachav Elohim, in the Aseres HaDibros, don't bow down to idols, right, to Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Lahem i'atam yishtachave, you're not allowed to bow down to idols, Avol atam yishtachave la'adam kimayishcha, but you're allowed to bow down to a man like yourself. There's no problem of bowing down to, let's say, a king. So the Gemara says, Yochel la'afilu nevad kihaman, is that mean to say that you're allowed to bow down to a person even if he makes himself in Avodah Zarah, that he is worshipped like Haman? And the Gemara says, no. Because the pasuk says, V'loisa avdeim, an extra word, V'loisa avdeim, you shall not serve them. That's come to tell you it is usher to bow down to a person if he makes himself in Avodah Zarah. So this is what Haman was doing. And that is why the Gemara says Mordechai was called Mordechai HaYehudi, even though he came from Binyamin. Rabbi Yochanan says, anybody who is koifer, who denies Avodah Zarah, who defies Avodah Zarah, is called Yehudi. It's called Yehudi, and we bring from the Makar for that is a pasuk in Daniel, which says, Isi Guvrin Yehudain. It's referring to, it's talking about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who went into the Kibshon Eish, right, who went into the furnace, and he calls them Isi Guvrin Yehudain. There are Guvrin Yehudain, men Yehudain, from Yehudim. Le'elohach lo palchan, they do not serve your idol. He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar. So we see that people who do not serve idol, people who are koifer in idol worship, are called Yehudain, are called Yehudim, and that's why he calls Mordechai HaYehudi. And the servants of the king who were in the Shar of the Melech said to Mordechai, why are you transgressing the command of the king to bow down to Haman? And it was that as they were saying to Mordechai, they were saying this to him every day, day after day. And he did not listen to them. He kept on not bowing down. And they told Haman, Lirois, to see Hayamdu Divrei Mordechai. Will the words of Mordechai stand? Are they going to be true? Are they going to be proven true? Kihigi Lahem Asher Hu Yehudi, because he told them that he is a Jew. What is it saying? Complicated pasuk. So if you look at Rashi on Hayamdu Divrei Mordechai, what were the Divrei Mordechai? We didn't hear it that Mordechai said anything. What was this? What are the words of Mordechai that he was supposed to have said? So Rashi explains, Ha'oimer shelo yishtachave olamis. Mordechai was saying something. He wasn't just refusing to bow down. He was explaining himself that the reason I'm not bowing down is because I'm a Jew, I'm a Yehudi, and not only that, but I will never bow down. Ha'oimer shelo yishtach ve'olamis. He was saying that he will never bow down. Ki hu Yehudi, because he is Yehudi. Ve'huzar al avodas kechavim. First of all, why do they have to tell Haman? They had to tell Haman that Mordechai wasn't bowing down. Didn't he see for himself? So actually, the Gra says that no, he didn't see for himself. He was such a Baal Gaiva. He was so arrogant, full of himself, that he didn't notice that Mordechai was blatantly refusing to bow down to him. So then the next pasuk says, I'm sorry. So back in the pasuk, just to explain the words of the pasuk. They told Haman, and they wanted to see, will the words of Mordechai actually be true? Which words? The fact that he said he will never bow down, is that going to be true? Is Mordechai going to be proven right that he will never be made to bow down because he is a Jew? Or will we be able to get him to bow down? And possibly he's only not bowing down for a different reason, not because he's a Yehudi, but because maybe he thinks Haman's not looking, or maybe he thinks that there's not really, the king never really commanded it. Maybe there's a different reason that he's not bowing down. But if the reason is that he's a Yehudi, and that's why he's not bowing down, which is the reason that he gave for himself, then that means he won't bow down at all. He'll never bow down. And they're going to see if that's true, if they can make him bow down. Because Mordechai told them, the reason that I'm not bowing down is Asher Yehudi, because I'm a Yehudi. Okay, so Apostle Kei, Vayar Haman, Ki Ein Mordechai Koreya Umishtach Valoi. And Haman saw that Mordechai was not bowing, prostrating to him. And Haman became filled with anger. So again, what was Haman? All of a sudden, Haman is seeing that Mordechai was not Korei Mishtach V'Loi. So the Mepharshim explained, because before that he hadn't noticed it, because he was so full of himself, he hadn't noticed Mordechai. And now that they told him, they mentioned him, that by the way, Mordechai is not bowing down, now he's paying attention, and now he's going to see if he can get him to bow down. So actually, the Medrash says that not only did he get empty, but he went and he stood in front of Mordechai, and Mordechai just didn't do anything, didn't budge. And he said, and then Haman started actually, as if he would start a conversation, asking about Mordechai. Assumed an expression like he's about to start a conversation, and Mordechai said to him, "Ein shalom l'rishayim." There's a pasuk, Ein shalom l'rishayim. There's no peace. You don't ask in the shalom. You don't greet with shalom and rasha. But Mordechai is clearly doing this to get at Haman for some reason. It's not exactly clear why. Why is he okay? If it's because of the avodah zarah, it doesn't mean he has to go out and spite Haman. Why does he have to go out of his way to show that he's not going to bow down? It's a difficult question, and not only that, because it would seem that the sequence of events, that's really what caused Mordechai's refusal to bow down, is really what caused the decree to kill out the Jews. I mean, that's the possible scene of the next few psukim, that Haman became so angry, and it was, and he didn't even want, he wasn't satisfied with just killing Mordechai, he wanted to kill out the entire Jewish people because they were the Am of Mordechai, and that's what led to the whole sequence of events. So really the whole thing was, you could attribute to Mordechai. It was all Mordechai's fault.
Is it possible Mordechai recognized the pseudonym of Amalek?
Oh, that's a very good point. Yes, absolutely. There's a tradition that Reb Chaim Belozner, the Rosh Hashiva, one of the great, the most famous Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, he is said to have received from a tradition from his Rebbe, the Gaon, the Gra, different simonim, how to determine if a person is from Amalek. And the story goes that when Reb Chaim Belozner was in his old age, he went with a younger Rav, accompanying him, he went to the Tsar's palace in St. Petersburg, and there was a child there, one of the royal family, who was making fun of them, or mocking them, and throwing rocks at them. And Reb Chaim Belozner said, that child has the simanim of Amalek. And it ended up becoming the next Tsar. So, but yeah, so if that's true, that the, if it's true that the Gra knew the simanim to determine to know who Amalek is, and ostensibly Mordechai did also, that's a good point. Although I don't know if that would, the Amalek is the mitzvah is to kill Amalek. He's not killing Haman. I mean, if he was able to kill Haman, then you would be right. But he's not. All he's doing is just getting him angry. There's no mitzvah to get Amalek angry. There's no. I mean, it seems to be a question of whether, in the Gemara Megillah, whether is it right to be misgore be rishayim, which means to anger them, to incite them, in Olam Hazeh, in where we are living with, our reality is that we are living among rishayim, and that a lot of times they're in power. What is the correct hanhaga? So there seems to be, it's not so clear cut in the Gemara, different psukim are implied different things. I'll tell you one thing. Rav Dessler has a very interesting thought that, based on the Chazal, that Haman said to Mordechai, "Why are you not bowing to me? Your grandfather Yaakov Avinu bowed down to my grandfather Esav, right? 7 times in Parshas Vayishlach. So what did Mordechai answer? Mordechai said, but my grandfather Binyamin wasn't born yet. All of this is true. All of Yaakov's children bowed down, but not Binyamin, because Binyamin wasn't yet born.
Yosef did bow down.
No, I think Yosef did bow down. He was in front of Rachel, but I think he did bow down. Rachel also bowed down. They all bowed down.
We have to bow down to a king, right? I mean, even if it's a Rasha, I think, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, Haman's not a king. That's what I'm saying. It was a mitzvah of the king, right? So Rav Dessler explains that something about Binyamin is... determines something in Shevet Binyamin's nature, character, that says that they can't, that they have to go openly, wage war openly with Amalek. Amalek could be more representative of, symbolic of Ra. Now, he explains that there are two ways of dealing with Ra, with evil, with outside, in the world, in our environment, and within ourselves. One is to sort of cater to it and to pander to it, but sort of to bribe it to get it. That our Yetzer Hara is always constantly trying to get us to do bad things. Mm-hmm. So we'll sort of give it, throw it a bone, and then it won't bother us.
Right.
It tells us don't go to the base measures, don't learn. So we say no. How about we'll learn, but I'll do it Shaloi Lishma, and that sort of brings in the Yetzer Hara, so he won't be able to stop us. So that's one way. Then there's another way, which is we go out an all-out battle. We don't budge an inch. We say, Yetzirah, I'm not giving it an inch. So that is a much more dangerous way, because it's much more easy. We're much more prone to be conquered. Because if we're saying we're not going to budge an inch, if we have to be stalwart. If you're not stalwart, you're going to be washed away. So this was Binyamin. Binyamin exemplify that character trait of being able to go out all out in an all out war against Amalek or the Ra, where to take it on where it is, where it's standing. And that's why Mordechai, was from Binyamin, refused to budge an inch. And we know that, what did this whole thing come from? This whole sorrow with Haman. How did it start? It started with Ha'agogi, because he was from Agag. And how was Agag allowed to remain, allowed to live? Because Shaul was supposed to have killed out all the Amalek, and he didn't. Shaul was sort of lacking in this respect in the all-out battle to be waged against Amalek, and he was too compassionate, and he let him live when he wasn't supposed to. And from that came this whole tzara of Haman. So Mordechai is to be misakin that, to rectify that. Mordechai is going, he's saying, I'm going to now be misakin what my grandfather, my ancestor, Shaul, didn't do. I'm going to finish the work.
Does it have anything to do with it? I mean, way before this, I mean, it'll come later on. It's in the Gemara, it mentions in Midrash, that he was a slave of Mordecai. So.
Right, yeah, it does mention this.
If that's the case, I mean, obviously at that point, did he know there was a Malak? And B, if he did, why didn't he keep him as a slave? Why didn't he, you know, try to do something to get rid of him at that point? You know?
I mean, it's not clear. Amalek, it's possible you could take a slave from Amalek. If somebody is, you're right. I mean, Mara says that he was an Eved. He bought him as an Eved. Does that mean that he was a full status of an Eved Kanani? Yeah. I don't know. A lot of the Mepharshim assume that it does. But that would mean that he would have had to have Mila and Tevila. I'm not sure. It might be a little far-fetched to say that he went through that whole process.
No.
I don't know.
Maybe he escaped, or I mean, what did he, I don't know how he got.
I don't remember what the story is that the Midrash says. So the girl points out that why was Haman so angry? Well, let's figure out, why was Haman so angry? He was so angry that he was willing to just wipe out an entire nation, but just because one person didn't bow down to him, it seems ludicrous. So the girl says no. If it had just been a personal vendetta that Mordechai has against him, he would have been angry, but it wouldn't have been so bad. But the reason that Haman was so angry is because Mordechai told him, you know why I'm not bowing down to you? Because I'm Yehudi. I'm Yehudi. I'm Koyfer Avodah Zarah. And therefore, his hatred for Mordechai was so extreme because Ein Sino Kesinas Hadas. There is no hatred like the hatred of religion. This is what the Gra says.
Wow.
Once it becomes a religious issue, if it's personal, that's one thing. Once it becomes a religious issue, Ein Sino Kesinas Hadas. So that's why Haman wasn't satisfied with killing Mordechai. He wanted to kill the entire nation because it was the nation. It was the nation. It was the fact. It was his nationality. It was his ethnic background that was causing him to refuse to bow down. It's because of his religion. A slightly different explanation. Is that the Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz gives a slightly different explanation, that it wasn't personal. The reason that he was so angry was not religious; it wasn't religion based, but it was personal. And really, basically, what happened was this: Mordechai said, "I'm not bowing down because I'm a Yehudi," and they told that to Haman. They said, "Haman, by the way, Mordechai says he's not bowing down to you because he's a Yehudi." So Haman said, "Oh, so if that's the case, then there's no mitzvah samelach. The king commanded everybody to bow down to Haman. They didn't say they have to bow down to Avodah Zarah. So if Haman makes himself a god or he's wearing a gachka on his body, that's not part of the command of the king that I have to bow down to." So they said, "Let's see if this is true. That this is the only reason that he's not bowing down to Haman." Haman, they advised Haman, for once, take off the Avodah Zarah from on your shirt, on your chest, and walk down in front of Mordechai and see then if he bows down. If he doesn't bow down, then you know it's personal. If he does bow down, then you know that it was just because of a religious thing and it's not so bad. What did he do? Haman tried it out. That's this in Pasuk Hey, Vayar Haman ki'im Mordechai korea u'mishtachave loy. To him, just by himself. He saw that Mordechai wasn't bowing down just to him without the Avodah Zarah. Even when he removed the Avodah Zarah, he still wasn't bowing down to him. Then, Vayimalei Haman Chema, he became incensed, he became filled with anger, because he realized that this is personal. It's not just because it's a religious thing, it's personal, and that moved him over the edge. So two different explanations. Was the intense hatred and anger of Haman because of that Mordechai was a Yehudi, and because that he wasn't bowing down to him because he was a Yehudi, it was a religious thing, or was it a personal thing? And why would Mordechai not bow down to him if he didn't have the Avodah Zarah? Why Taka wouldn't he bow down to him if he took off the Avodah Zarah? So Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz says could be that he was like afraid of Maris Ayin. Let's say if Haman is always wearing an Avodah Zarah, and one day he takes it off, and people will see Mordechai bowing down. They'll make a mistake. They'll think that it's okay to bow down to him with Avodah Zarah. Okay, pasuk vav. Vayives be'enav l'shloach yod b'Mordechai levadoi, and it was little. It was abizoyin, or the Targum says it was a choich. It was a mockery to bow down to a mockery. It was something not befitting of Haman. He felt it was not befitting. It was unbecoming. L'shloach yod b'Mordechai levada, just to kill Mordechai himself. Ki higidu lo yasam Mordechai, for they told him the nation of Mordechai. They told him who the Am of Mordechai was. Vayivakesh Haman l'hashmid es kol ha'yehudim asher b'chol malchus ha'chashverish Am Mordechai. And Haman wished to destroy all the Jews asher b'chol malchus ha'chashverish Am Mordechai. This will continue next time.